Before we read God's word, John 14, we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the ways ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I sin. I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter ye will not talk much, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, what thou hast said unto thy disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Then how tenderly thou dost speak unto thy people, in caring not only for the things of this world, but for that which lies also deep within their hearts. And thou knowest what is the way of thy church. When their heart is overwhelmed, then they are going unto thee in their secret chambers to lay before thee all their needs and all their cares and all their wants. For it is a people that cannot care for themselves. And thou knowest what their needs are most perfectly. But thou sayest that thou wilt also hear it from their own mouth. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one of thy people and care for them in the place where they are in this morning and in this day. Oh, that thou mayest supply in all their wants and needs and cares. That hunger and that thirst that cannot be satisfied with all that is vain and carnal and passing, that it may be filled with thee, that it may be good to be in thy house of prayer, that there may be a desire by renewal to build their nest there as the sparrows, that thou may also lift the needy from the dunghill. Oh, that thou may raise up the beggar from the dust. Oh, that thou may instruct thy people who feel day by day their ignorance in the things of thee and of thy holy word, the ignorance of self, that sin that they may know of, that is but a little part of the great corruption that is living within their hearts, and they are not able to humble themselves before thee sufficiently. Oh, then they desire a place before thee in the dust, but they cannot bring themselves there. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember thy church, and they can give to themselves nothing. And not a knowledge of themselves, and they cannot give unto themselves the knowledge of thee. And we have heard that also in these moments out of thy word. Oh, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Oh, Lord, how many of thy people, that is the burden that is living in their heart, that they do not know the way. Oh, that thou may show thyself, that thou may reveal thyself as thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when thou wilt open unto them a little of thy preciousness and who and what thou art, as thou hast been sent of thy Father into the world to suffer and to die, to pay the price for thy church, to conquer, to bruise the head of the prince of darkness, and to be received up again into glory. Oh, that the eyes of thy children may be given to behold thee in thy beauty, as thou makest thy face to shine upon them, and then they shall once again joy in thy salvation. O restore then the walls of thy Zion, for when thou dost shine thy face once more, then they shall rejoice in thee. Then there shall be a beginning of that blessed eternal song of Moses and the Lamb. O that thou may look then upon thy church this day, feed them from above, that thou may look also upon each and every one of us. For thou knowest how that we are traveling through this world, and we are born not as the beasts, but having a soul going to a never-ending eternity. Oh, then we have to give an account of all that we have heard in thy house of prayer. Oh, then we have to give an account of that instruction that we have received from father and from mother, for the instruction we have received in our catechism classes, in our school day by day, everything to come back to us, giving an answer to all the callings that have come in the way of thy providence. And who shall be able to stand in that great day? Who shall be able to answer one question of a thousand? Who shall be able to put his hand into his own bosom and to take it out clean? And that can stand before thee in thy sight. O Lord, then there is no man. For thou lookest upon us and thou seest that they are all turned aside, and that there is not one that doeth good, and no, not one. Oh, then we have but one hope and one expectation that is not lying in fallen men, not in his abilities, not in his fallen and perverted will. Oh, that is only one hope, Lord, that is in thee alone. For thou sayest, with men it is impossible, but not with God. Oh, that it may be experienced and also in our midst in this very day, that thy Spirit may be sent out again as heretofore, that thou would go from pew to pew and from heart to heart, and to touch many amongst us, that we could not go on any longer in the ways of sin, that we may be given to depart by thy Spirit from that broad way, that we may be given to enter in through that straight gate and to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life, a way that is not able to go around the mountains or the valleys, but that must go up over the mountains and through the valleys. But thou wilt bring them through every affliction and every trial and every tribulation. Thou wilt work out thy own purposes and thou wilt work out thy own ends. Oh, give thy children an eye to behold thy dealings, that they may rejoice even in the tribulation, that it may work patience and patience experience and experience hope, and that hope that shall never be ashamed. Oh, care for us then altogether, young and old. Look upon our youth, our young people, our children. Satan is so busy in the days in which we are living, and the temptations, they are increasing in number and also in strength. They are coming even into our very homes. Oh, that thou may look upon them in thy mercy. For there is no man that is able to withstand the great temptations of Satan, because of the evil that is living within our hearts. Oh, that thou may put thy fence and thy wall about them, and that thou may keep them, that thou may turn them. Oh, that thou may give them within their soul that a new life, that may learn, that may desire to flee from sin, and that thou may also instruct each and every one of us out of thy holy word. Remember us as parents, that we may be given to do that which thou commandest us to do, to bring up our children in the fear and admonition of thee, and that may we may watch over our children for their good, that we may not be lax also in these matters, so that Satan may receive the victory over them, that thou may give us wisdom from above. Look upon all the afflicted and all the sick ones. Her that lies yet in the hospital in weakness, Lord, wilt thou give strength and health from above as the great physician to help all that care for her, strengthen her husband, her children. Oh, that thou may bless this way, and that she also may testify that it was good for me to be afflicted, for thereby I have learned the statutes of the Lord. Wilt thou visit her in her place also in this day? Look upon the child that recovers yet at home. Thou knowest all the needs. Lord, wilt thou heal her body? Oh, that thou may also encourage her in her heart. Oh, that thou may show thyself, that thou may bless and sanctify this way in the days of her youth. Strengthen her parents and family together, and all those that suffer, all those that have special needs for the mind, special needs for the body, those that miss their loved ones, that go over this world alone, those that are unmarried, those who have no children, those who have disappointments in life. And wilt thou supply in all their needs? Oh, cause all together that this life may be lived as a stranger here below, and that we truly may be a pilgrim, that we are seeking a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, look upon all thy servants, those that serve also in our sister congregations in this area, in this day, and all over the length and breadth of the whole world. And wilt thou supply from above as thou alone art able to do. Lord, help us to. Oh, be on our right and on our left hand. For when we are left alone, then it all shall be coming to nothing. But when thou wilt come in with thy word, then it can be to thy honor yet and to thy glory. Strengthen us in our weak body for this labor. And oh, give the unction of thy spirit to be felt and to be experienced in our midst, that the testimony may yet one day go forth, that the Lord was in our midst. Forgive and keep us from sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. We make the following announcements. There are some collections. They are a little in the future yet, but the Pentecost Day collection, that is on June the 8th, that will be, the Lord willing, for the North American General Mission, June the 8th. The following Sunday will be the collection for the Calgary Loan Repayment, that is on June the 15th. Today, the extra collection is for the Student Support Fund. Psalter 415, stanzas 2 and 4. Thank you. congregation on Thursday, the Lord willing. And then we hope to commemorate Ascension Day. That is not a day that we hear so much about. That is very different, boys and girls, with the day of Christmas. For a long time before and that the day of Christmas arrives, then we are very well aware. But that is not so with the day of the Ascension. And yet, we may ask ourselves, why not? That is understandable from a worldly point of view. But now, in the midst of God's church, how is it? Because then there was a rejoicing when the Lord Jesus has descended from heaven, and when he has come into this world. And there was a great reason for that rejoicing. But there was also a great rejoicing when the Lord Jesus has returned again into heaven. Because then that work was finished. And then the devil, he has been put down. And then the head of Satan has been bruised. And then the victory has been accomplished. And that Son of Man, he has in not only his divine nature, but also in his human nature, entered into that heavenly glory to receive the royal crown. The time of Christmas, there is preparation. 4 weeks before, then we have the weeks of Advent. And then we may acknowledge that the Lord is preparing a place in the heart of God's children for the coming of the Lord Jesus, for the birth of the Lord Jesus. But we can read in God's word that the Lord Jesus has also prepared his disciples before that he has ascended into heaven. And that, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider in this morning out of the words of our text, John 14, verse 29. John 14, verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. So far the words of our text. Christ prepares his disciples for his ascension. First, what he told them. And now, I have told you. Second, when he told them. And now, I have told you before it came to pass. And third, why he told them then. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Christ prepares his disciples for his ascension. First, what he told them. Second, when he told them. And third, why he told them then. And now, I have told you. Who was that? That is the Lord Jesus. To whom is he speaking? He is speaking unto his disciples. The Last Supper, and that is now finished. Judas has left. He is going to do his evil work. And now the Lord Jesus, he may be alone, yet for a little while, with his own disciples, that is, with his true disciples. This night, the Lord Jesus is going to give himself. That enemy is going to come, and that enemy is going to take him. But they are not going to take him by force, because they have tried to take him before, but they were not able. And then he has dismissed himself. He has walked away from them because his time was not yet come. But in this night, he is going to offer no resistance. In this night, he is going to fulfill the prophecy concerning himself, that he is going to go as a sheep to the slaughter. He is not going to resist. And then he is going to give himself to the enemy. He is going to give himself to suffering. He is going to give himself even unto death. The Lord Jesus knew what was coming. Everything that was in his control, that had to do with his divine omniscience and his divine omnipotence, his power. But he also knew what was coming in the life of his disciples. He also knew what was before them. They did not know. For them it was hidden. Did he tell them everything? No, he didn't. Because he said unto them, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Thus is his way with his people, that he is not laying more on them than they are able to bear. Boys and girls, your father would not do that either. When there would be a very heavy burden, something very heavy to carry, and then he is not going to place it on your shoulders, but he will give you only that which he knows that your strength is able to bear. And so that is now with the Lord Jesus. And that he is not telling them everything. And yet in his wisdom, he is preparing them for that which is coming. So that at the time that it is coming, they will be able to bear it. It is, we would say, his farewell sermon. It is the last sermon that he is going to be speaking to his disciples. We read, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So he is not going to say much more to them after this evening. But he has some things that he would like to say unto his own children, unto his own servants, before that he departs. And what does he say to them? That is our first point. What he told them. And what does he tell them? Well, in the first place, he says, I am leaving you. Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a little while am I with you. A little while was he with them. That was but 3 short years. And a little while, only a very short while now, will he yet be with them. That was such a good time. When the Lord Jesus may be with them. Because then they may enjoy something of the sensible presence of the Lord. And that was a time that the disciples, in every need, with every question, they may go to him and they may ask him. Thus, it is a time that they may enjoy with the Lord Jesus in this world something of that blessed nearness of the Lord. But now that time, that's coming to an end. And that is also the experience of God's children in this world to this day. Oh, then there are times that the Lord is so near with the sensible presence of his Spirit. There are times wherein they may lay every need before the Lord, and they may experience a little of that blessed communion with him. But the Lord Jesus, he says, a little while. And that is what now they experience. It is but a little while, and then that time that is then finished. But it is also so, congregation, with our whole life. Because it is but a little while. A little while that we receive a time of grace. A little while that we receive the privilege of coming up unto his house. Is that ever good? Oh, may you ever experience something of that joy of coming up unto that house of the Lord. Because it is a short time. It will not last forever, no. But it is soon going to come to an end. There is a second thing the Lord Jesus says to his disciples. And what is that? He tells them how that they ought to behave when he is gone. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Young people, your father, your mother, then they grieve when you quarrel with one another. Then they go to their bed sorrowful. Then if it has to be, that a father or mother, they are lying on their deathbed, and then they are gathering their sometimes young children around them. And then it is understandable that that father and that mother, they say, now children, when I am gone, then I hope that you will love one another. Oh, I hope that you may now deny yourself. I hope that you may seek the welfare of one another, the true welfare, that you will warn one another in love. And so the Lord Jesus, then he is speaking unto his disciples in this way, I am not with you anymore here below. You have argued with one another. You have sought to be the greatest among one another. Then I have instructed you, but now I am departing from you. And now a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another. Oh, how the church of God needs to be ashamed. Because that love that does not dwell in us as it ought to dwell in us. That we are laying before one another in our guilt. That we come before one another in a true repentance that may be felt by one another. And that we may be able to forgive one another also so wholeheartedly in obedience to that command of the Lord to his church after he has departed into heaven. That he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. How sad those disciples were. The Lord Jesus, he is going to depart. And they do not wish him to depart, no. Oh, they would keep him there forever. that they may continue to enjoy that blessed presence. They do not want the Lord Jesus to leave. The Lord Jesus says that himself to them. He says, because I said unto you these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. But the Lord Jesus, he says to them, I go to the Father. He says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. He says, if you loved me, then you would not be so selfish that you want to keep me from that glory that I am now going to receive. Because he says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Thus, he rebukes the sorrow that is living in the heart of his disciples because they ought to instead be glad. He has now suffered in this world. He has now paid that price. He is going not now to be humiliated, but he is going to be exalted in glory. Thus he says, if your love that was truly upon me, then you would not be sorrowful, but you would rejoice. And not only so, but he says, it is also expedient for you that I go away. Thus, it is not only for my glory, but it is also for you. He says, because if I go not away, the Comforter shall not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Thus, it is not only for my glory, but it is also for your own welfare. You do not see that. It is so against your flesh. It is against all your desires. But what now I do, that is good for you. Thus, he says, I am leaving you. Thus, he says, you must love one another when I am gone. Thus, he says, you should not be so sad that I am leaving you because I go to my Father. Thus, he says, it is also good for you because there are benefits for you when I am going away. And now there is one more thing that the Lord Jesus says to them. And what is that? He says not only that I am going away, but he says, I come again to you. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So when was that? He went away. He had yet to die. He had yet to go in that grave, and the disciples, they were sorrowful. And then they saw him again, and they rejoiced. That is true. However, the Lord Jesus, he speaks about more here. Because we read it. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. Thus, the Lord Jesus leaves his disciples with a promise of what? Of his return. He says, you must miss me, but that shall only be for a time. And then you are going to see me again. Thus we have in our first thought what? That the Lord Jesus has told his disciples. In our second thought, then we see when the Lord Jesus has told this to his disciples. And what did he say? He says, now I have told you before it come to pass. What is that? When we will tell something before it comes to pass, then we are telling something that's going to happen in the future. And if we tell something that's going to happen in the future, then we are making a prophecy. We are prophesying, or we call that sometimes a prediction. We predict what is going to happen in the future. Can man do that? What do you think, boys and girls? Can man predict what is going to happen in the future? Well, certainly he can. Because in many ways, it would be impossible for us to live in this world if we could not predict what was going to happen in the future. And in many ways, we can predict these things very accurately. How did that woman kill Abimelech with a millstone? You know the story, boys and girls. Then that woman, she has cast that millstone down, so that it has fallen on his head. How is it that that woman knew that if she would take that millstone up, that that millstone would come down? You say, that always happens. When I drop something, then it falls to the ground. That is right. That is our experience. And that falling to the ground, that millstone that is coming down, she could very accurately predict that that was going to happen. Why? Because that millstone coming down has a cause. And that cause of that millstone coming down, that is gravity. That is something that is always happening the same. God has made our world that way. That is an orderly world that we are living in. So that there are causes and that there are effects. And that every effect that has a cause that is coming before it. And then we may know before it comes to pass what is going to happen. Thus, there are things that we can very accurately predict. There are also behaviors, animal behaviors, human behaviors, that we are quite accurately able to predict. What does Solomon say? He says, surely, certainly, a serpent will bite without enchantment. Why? There is a cause. And that cause that is lying in that serpent, the nature of that serpent. And we know what that serpent is going to do because of what lies in his nature, that is after our fall. Thus, it can be accurately predicted before it come to pass. What about human behaviors? Can they be quite accurately predicted? Yes, they can. Because we know, we experience what is in that fallen nature of man. Solomon warns the young man for that strange woman. We would say that harlot, young people. He warns the young man. And he says to that young man, he says, let thy way be far from her. He says, do not even go near to her door. He says, stay far away. Why? Because then we can quite accurately predict what is going to happen when you come near to her door. There is a temptation there. And in that temptation, that young man is not able to stand because of the fallenness of his nature. When you have, young people, your own house, and you are living there alone, and you will bring your girlfriend into that house when no one else is there, that is, in the first place, the appearance of evil. But we can be quite certain what is going to happen. That there is not going to be a complete purity. Why can we quite accurately say that? Because we cannot keep ourselves in that temptation because of our fall. That is the nature of man. That is why Solomon, he says, far away from the door even. That is why that we warn you continually about the internet, fathers and mothers. That is why we speak about pornography and the need to be watching and the need to be taking steps concerning our children before it come to pass. Why? Because we can quite accurately predict what is going to happen. The cause is lying deep in our hearts. That cause is lying in our fallen nature. The Lord Jesus, he says that adultery that is lying within a man, it is not that which is from out. There is the temptation. There is the occasion that is set before us. But now, the evil that is lying within, there is the real cause. That is why also, girls, then you must be dressed properly. And boys, we come to the summertime. We must acknowledge that man has a fallen nature. The Lord, he says, you must be clothed. You must cover yourself. Before the fall? No. After the fall. That was the reason that the Lord has given to us clothing, that we may be dressed and that we do not set a temptation before a man. When we would put a bird, our family pet bird, with our family cat, and that cat will attack that bird, then you say it is the fault of the cat. That is the cause. Well, sure, but it is our fault too, because we have set up that occasion. And thus, we ourselves are also guilty. It is predictable. Before it come to pass, then there are some things that are that are only somewhat predictable. The Lord Jesus, he said, when it is evening, then ye say it will be fair weather because the sky is red. And when it is morning, you say it will be foul weather today because the sky that is red and it is lowering. Thus we are predicting what is going to happen in the future. But often we are wrong. And why are we wrong? Well, you say there are circumstances, there are other things that can happen, and that is so true. Saul, he surrounded David. He was completely surrounded. He thought, I have him now. That prediction, then he could quite accurately say, well, now there is no way that he can escape. I think David, he thought so too. Don't you think so, boys and girls? Those enemies, they were all around David. He could not escape. It was like a rat in a trap. And did it happen? No. Why not? Because the Philistines came. The circumstances, they changed. Who could predict that? No one. No one. Thus, there are things that are somewhat predictable, but the more things that can come in between, the more circumstances that could change, the less predictable that things become. So that there are some things that are completely unpredictable that we could never be able to say beforehand that they would ever happen before they came to pass. What are some of those things? Well, we think about Haman. He was on the gallows, on his own gallows. He built them. We would say, he hung himself. Could you predict that? Who can predict it? So many things had to happen. All they had to come together, all at the same time, in order for Haman to be hung on his own gallows and for the Lord to receive the glory. That is completely unpredictable. Think of Job. His afflictions. Who could predict that? That the Sabaeans would come and take the oxen and the asses. And that the fire of the Lord would fall. That the Chaldeans would come and take the camels. And that the wind from the wilderness would come and destroy the house that with the children. Oh, so many things had to happen. In the mind of a man, in the circumstances of nature, all those occasions coming together, there is no one able to say before it came to pass. Also miracles. Some things completely against those laws of nature that we see every day happening on a regular basis. So we see Elijah on that mountain and the fire of the Lord that is coming down upon that sacrifice. That is a miracle. That is something that man is not able to predict. The plagues, the sea, a path through the sea. That is against the regular order of nature which God has made. And that he is taking his own creation into his own hands and doing what he will. So that no man is able to say what is going to come to pass before it come to pass. The Lord Jesus, born of a virgin. The suffering of the Lord Jesus with the causes, but also with the fruits of that suffering. The resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, the resurrection of God's church. Who is now able? Congregation, then we feel it. Those things are things that only God is able to know. before it come to pass. Why? Because he is the first cause. He is the final cause. He is producing all the second causes. He is governing them all. He is directing them all to his own ends, to his own purposes. He is the only one that knows them. But sometimes he says them to his people. Sometimes he says them to his servants. And especially in the Old Testament, we think about the prophets, that the Lord Jesus has told them things that were going to come to pass before they came to pass. Jeremiah. But then there was children who? There was a false prophet, Hananiah. And he said what Jeremiah said is not true. And Jeremiah says what Hananiah says is not true. That was hard for their people. How did they know who to believe? What does Jeremiah say? He says, the word of that prophet which comes to pass, that is the servant of the Lord. He says, you will know it when it happens. You will know it in that day that that prophecy comes to pass. And that brings us now to the reason that the Lord Jesus has told his disciples these things before that they came to pass. That he has spoken about the future before that it has happened. Why? He says that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Let us sing first. 243, 8, 9, and 15. Though they be chastened sore and tried, my faithfulness shall yet abide. My plighted word I will not break, nor change the promise that I spake. 8, 9, and 15 of 243. And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. How difficult is faith that ye might believe. Is that so with you too? That you say how difficult is faith. By nature, congregation, we are in the state of unbelief. We cannot believe. We do not believe. There can be no exercise of faith when that faith has never been planted in our heart. How is that in the state of grace? Then the Lord is planting that faith. But now that exercise that is so difficult. You may ask any one of God's children, and then they have a complaint. Then they have a cry. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And then they are crying with the father of the lunatic, oh Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief, because to believe, that is so comfortable. There is so much rest in faith, even in trials, in persecutions, and all the troubles of this world. Oh, if there may be faith in exercise, then a man, he can go through everything that he has to go through in this world. Christ, he was not unaware of the difficulty of faith. He knows the infirmities of his children. And therefore, he gives helps to that faith. David says, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows their frame. He knoweth that they are dust. Helps to faith. Helps to believe. Do you say, Lord, help me to believe? How did he do that when he was here upon the earth? Then he performed many what, children? Many miracles. Why? That was a help to faith. That was because the Lord Jesus, he was there in his humility. That was so hard for a man to believe that he was the Messiah. Just think of it, his brothers. Lived with him since he was a little boy. And then to believe that he was the Messiah, that was so very difficult. And for all the people, therefore, he has performed miracles as a help to faith. Then we can read how that he has instituted those sacraments. Baptism, the Lord's Supper. And they are helps to faith. But what is also a help? His word. And then especially prophecy. And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Believe. What is that? Faith. What is faith? What does Paul say faith is? Paul says faith is substance, the substance of things hoped for. And he says it is evidence of things that are not seen. Evidence is things that are very plain. Evidence makes it plain. We can all understand it. We can all see it. We believe it when we have evidence. And then he says it is evidence of things that we cannot see. Faith that is necessary only for the things that we cannot see, that is changed one day for God's children into seeing, into beholding. And when they may behold, then that faith that is done away, then that faith that is not necessary anymore, when it comes to pass, when it comes to pass, then that faith that is no longer necessary. Say, how is that? Because the Lord Jesus' purpose here in our last thought, then it says that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. But you say, when it comes to pass, then we don't need to believe anymore. When it comes to pass, well, then that faith is done. What does that mean? That ye might believe what? Oh, then the Lord Jesus says this, that you might believe things that you cannot see, that are not so evident all of themselves. When it comes to pass, that you might believe in the first place that I am He, of my divine origin. Why? Because I prophesied of it. And the prophet whose word comes to pass, he is the prophet of the Lord. So when it comes to pass that ye might believe, when you see it with your eyes, then you will know for sure, you will believe in your heart that I am the Christ. A second thing, that you will believe the things that are still future. Thus, when you see one thing, when it comes to pass, when one thing comes to pass, and that second thing that I have promised, that is not yet come to pass, then you may believe with all your heart that if I could prophesy of the first thing and it came to pass, then you may believe with all your heart that that second thing that will come to pass also. And what does the Lord Jesus say? Two things. You remember, boys and girls? He says, first, I go away. He says, I go to my Father. And that you will soon see. You will see it with your eyes. When I will ascend into heaven. That is what we hope to commemorate this week. That you will see. Now there's a second thing that I told you. And that thing, you are not going to see it for a while. But I want you to believe it with all your heart. And what is it? That I am coming again. That I am coming again. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That will be for them, still future. And he says to them that you may never doubt it. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. And now read the epistles. And how many times then they have spoken of the things of Christ coming again. Coming again. They expected him. They were looking for him. And they may say with such certainty, in all the trials and in all the tribulations and in all the persecutions which the churches of that time had to endure, that they may say to them, he is coming again. Congregation, We have to close. How is it for us? He's coming. He is coming. Do you believe that? That is hard to believe, isn't it, young people? That he is coming again on the clouds of heaven, that every eye is going to see him. That is hard to believe, isn't it? How many in this world, they will not believe it? Peter says there will come in the last days scoffers. And they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. No, it is not a slackness. It is a long-suffering. It is a bearing until the last one of his church, which he will not have one to perish, but he will bring out the very, very last one, so that not a hoof of that people, they shall be left behind, but he shall gather in the very last one of that 144,000. Oh, do you believe it? That he is coming. Compare now the Bible with the reality. Look around you. Read your newspaper. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? We don't believe it. Maybe you say it would have been easier to believe when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, when I was there at that time, when I have seen him, when I have heard his voice. No. The Lord Jesus says no. He gives something as an help to faith. And what is that help? He says that help is that I have told you beforehand. And then it comes to pass. And for that people, it had not yet come to pass. But now when we afterwards, when we may see all these things have been fulfilled, oh, then we have no excuse for all of our unbelief. When we may see something of his foreknowledge, when we may see something of his providence, and we may see something of the certainty of the fulfillment of his word, day by day, week by week, year after year, as the world is going on and on toward its youngest day. But now it is especially for his church that the Lord Jesus has spoken those words. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Here we read those disciples, they were sad. Christ says, I go away. But if all is well, we hope to hear how it was in the day of his ascension. And then we can read that they returned unto Jerusalem. And are they still sad? Do you know that, boys and girls? They are not. They return, we read, rejoicing. Oh, a short visit. A short visit of the Lord Jesus here upon this earth. And when he has ascended into heaven, then his church is rejoicing. Oh, then we see something of the prophet. of all that the Lord Jesus has spoken to them. We see something of the strengthening of that faith. All the earthly conceptions that they had of the kingdom of Christ, they were then finally gone. And that church is learning to live how? That church that is learning now to live by faith. By faith. And not by sight. And not by sight. Because they cannot see him anymore. How often that is that God's children, they are living by sight. They are living by their senses, by their feelings, by the sensible manifestations of the Lord Jesus. But when we will take a little infant, you have that maybe in your house too, children, a little baby, and then he grows a little older, then he begins to see mother and father, and when he sees mother and father, then it is good. And when mother and father are not there, well, then you know it is not so good. And then what happens to you? Then you become a little older. And when you become a little older, well, know that mother and father do not have to be there all the time. Then you may know in your mind that they are only gone for a little while. But you believe and you hope and you are expecting that they are coming back again. Oh, that sensible presence that is so sweet for God's children. But now how grieved the Lord is when there is now no growth in the life of his children. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The disciples, they said, it is because we have brought no bread. And the Lord Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do you not remember the 5 loaves among the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Do you not remember the 4 loaves among the 7 loaves among the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it, Church of God, that you do not understand? And then he provides a reason. He provides an encouragement to that church that they may believe. Even without the sensible manifestations of his presence. Oh, he leads them through trial. And he leads you through tribulation. And he leads you through persecution. But may you ever see the purpose of the Lord in it. May you ever see his end. The world cannot see that. They have one end. What is that? That is here below. If they have not comforts here below, they miss everything. How is that for God's people? When they have not comforts here below, do they miss everything? No. No. Why? Faith. Faith. All they are looking, they are waiting that he is coming again. All that he is returning and that he is going to take them also to be with him. Unto himself. No, he is not there. Every day with his sensible presence. But does your countenance then have to be sad? Is not his word enough for you? Oh, hath he not said it? And shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? What did Naomi say to Ruth? She was not yet married to him. She could not see him every day, every moment. She said, sit still, my daughter, until we see how the matter will fall. For the man, he will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, look upon us, each one of us, in mercy. When we have no faith, O give us faith, plant that faith. O give us to search thy word, to see what thou hast spoken before it came to pass, to see how it has come to pass, to believe that it is going to come to pass. Oh, that our hearts may lie no more in that state of unbelief, that thou may look upon thy children. Oh, give them that quietness, that they may depend so wholly and solely upon thy word, and that they may rely upon thee, that they may receive that quietness and that comfort, that waiting upon thee until it is thy time to come. Wilt thou look upon us further in this day, bring us safely to our places, and with desire in thy house in this afternoon, help thy servant who hopes to be in our midst, be thou on his right and on his left hand, feed us from above, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 202, 1 and 2, in doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand, and thou carest for me. My soul, with thy counsel, through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory abide. 1 and 2 of Psalter 202. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.